Well, good morning. I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open, and actually, we're going to do something a little bit different. If you will, just amuse me for a little bit. Open up your Bibles to Psalm 3, the third Psalm. There's a lot of times where I used to get up here with an iPad, and I would have all these electronics and everything, and for me, a lot of times I felt like I was distracted by it, and then I would encourage you to open your Bibles. And while the while, I'm holding my digital screen, and I'm trying to tell you to have your Bibles with you, all the while I don't have my own. So I'm trying to make it a mission in my life to where I have my Bible up here. That way you can see me flipping pages, and I want to encourage you to do the same and have your Bibles with you and bring those things with you. I love getting to see a lot of people who have, you know, the pretty covers. I was talking to somebody this morning who, man, that Bible was huge, and I'm so thankful to see that, and I love when people open up their covers and there's notes and there's pens and pencils and all these wonderful things. And so please bring those Bibles, because I will do my best to preach a lesson to where you are in a text and you're able to look at that and know it better. I was going through, and I started a new devotional this week, and I'm just going through the Psalms. And for 31 days, I'm going to be going through the Psalms. And one of my favorite songs that we sing is A Shield About Me. Thankfully, this week, I got to read where that song came from. If you look at that third psalm, notice this is the first psalm we see that is actually ascribed to David. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation from him, for him and God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing beyond your people. What a wonderful psalm. Now, we're not even going to be talking about that psalm throughout this sermon. I just wanted to encourage you with it. We're actually going to be continuing our series on the idea of spring cleaning, right? Maybe you're still going through that now that our rain has stopped and we've had a few days of sunshine. Maybe you've gotten out and you said, hey, I'm going to finally tackle those flower beds. I'm going to finally tackle the garden. I'm finally going to see what I can do about the weeds. You know, I'm going to start going through my closet. And ultimately what we're doing is we're getting out all the old stuff and we're going to start putting all that new stuff in. That's what we're continuing in this series, talking about how we need to get the old out and bring the new in. We need to make sure we are trying to become new people. Last week, we talked about the empty house, right? We learned from Jesus what happens when we get the evil out of our lives. What do we have to do? We have to fill it with God. If we don't fill it with God, what is Satan going to do? He's just going to sin more and stronger. And he's going to try and take us over. So we need to have that stronger man, Jesus, God, dwelling in our lives so that we can protect ourselves. And so this morning, we're going to continue that idea. And we're going to be talking in Ephesians chapter 4, and that's why that scripture reading came from that. And if you've been in our Sunday morning Bible class here in the auditorium, this is not a new passage. We recently just covered this. But I think it fits so well in this particular series, and hopefully it'll just re-solidify what we have already learned from this. Now, when I think of defining words, and when you think of defining words, whenever you are thinking, oh, I need to find a definition for that word, because there's a lot of big words out there, I'll just be honest, and I don't know the meanings to a lot of them. Me and Heather were talking the other day, and she used the word deluge, and I was like, I don't know if... What it even does that word mean? And she used it to talk about something about a massive pouring down of rain and all these things, and she called it a deluge. And I was like, I don't know if you're using that correctly. And I learned, my wife is way smarter than I am, because I Googled it and I found out, guess what deluge means? A massive pouring of water, a flood type of definition. So my wife is way smarter than me, and It also made me think, you know, when I need a definition, the first thing I do, back in the day we had to open up books to actually find that. That was tough. Now we can get on our smartphones and Google it, and that will give us a plethora of definitions. Now, whenever you're looking up a Bible word definition, what resources do you use? I know there's a lot out there. A lot of times I have a Bible software app where it just helps me, and it gives me a lot of really good resources. And so I want to encourage you with this. Sometimes the best place to find a definition for a Bible word is, guess where? The Bible. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, this is the best definition I can find for what repentance is all about. For what it means to repent and what it means to change your life and have your life changed or have your life renewed. So I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to that particular text that Rick so read for us so well. And I also want to commend Rick. Did y'all notice what he did before he even started reading? He gave you the context. That's awesome. I love understanding verses in their context, and I'm thankful for him for doing that and letting us know back in chapter 4, verse 17, this starts a context of not walking as the Gentiles walk, right? So I want you to focus on this particular text with me. Notice if we were to go back up to verse 17 of chapter 4, Paul writes this, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do." And he's going to let us know specifically how they walked. They walked in the futility of their minds. Now, you have to understand, what does futility mean? The foolishness, I guess you could say, or the emptiness, the vainness, the worthlessness of their minds. That's how these pagans, these Gentiles, these non-believers lived their lives. They lived it how they wanted to live. They didn't care about the knowledge of God. They didn't do that. They said, hey, here's our selfish desires and here's how we want to live. And so Paul says that's living in the futility of their minds. He goes on to say they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. See, now we're zeroing in a little bit more on our specific text that we're going to be looking at this morning. Notice that word "but" at the beginning of verse 20. He's trying to contrast this life of the Gentiles, this life of the non-believers, the ones that are doing whatever they want to do, right? He's letting them know, don't walk like them, who are ignorant, who are hardened, who are living according to what they want to do, who are greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Don't do that. I don't want that to be you, right? And then he goes on to say, but that's not how you learned Christ. Now, some of our translations do us a help here. They let us know, like, he's going to take a little rabbit chase here for just a short bit in this part of this verse. And then he's going to come back to this idea of that's not how you learned Christ. Notice he says, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So he makes this assumption. Hey, you're saints, you're Christians. I'm assuming you understand Christ and you learned about Christ and you were taught in him because that's where the truth is. Now, watch what he does in verse 22, and this is our specific text we're going to look at. You see, the way you learned Christ was to put off your old self. Notice how he describes the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. When you learn Christ, you learned, I need to put off that old self. That's what he's telling these Christians, these saints. He's letting them know, like, hey, when you learned about Christ, you learned that I needed to change, that you needed to change. You didn't need to be like the Gentiles anymore, right? And if you understand the entire context of Ephesians, it's fascinating because he's talking to two people groups. He's talking to the Gentiles and the Jews. That pretty much encompassed everybody, right? If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. And so he's letting them know, look, y'all don't need to act like those people anymore. Y'all don't need to be those people anymore. You need to be the people of God. And so that first requires you to put off that old self. And when you start to think about the differences between these people, there was the pagan religions of the Gentiles, then there was also the selfish religion of the Jews. And the reason I say that is because if you go throughout the gospel accounts and you study through what Jesus is trying to teach, notice what the Jews did to him. They rejected him. All of the Gospel of John, he is pretty much calling these quote-unquote Jews, and he's referring to that people group as those who rejected him. When God's Son came into the world, his own people said, we don't want you. We're good with our religion. We like what we've got going on here. Our Pharisees and our Jewish leaders, they have power and they love it. So there's a lot of self that needs to be put off. This old self, Paul will even refer to this old self in Ephesians chapter 2. Notice in verses 1 through 3, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You see, our old self is also a dead person because of the sins that we had in our lives, because of the trespasses we had committed. Notice why we were doing this. We were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. I like what Paul does here in verse 3. Notice, among who we all once walked. Paul's not sitting over here on a pedestal saying, look how bad you people are. Look how horrible y'all were. He says, no, I was there too. I used to live this way. I used to follow after my desires. You can even read through the book of Acts, and Paul was Saul at one point, and he persecuted Christians because he thought his way, he thought this Jewish way was the best way. And he says, look, this is who we all used to be. See, Paul puts himself in this same boat. He's letting him know, not only do you have to put off your old self, I did too. Even though I'm an apostle, even though I'm all this, I still had to go through this process of getting rid of who I used to be. The old self that belongs to my former manner of life and is caught up in all these deceitful desires. Deceitful, they're lying, right? They're desires that tell us that we're gonna be fulfilled and that this void in our life is going to be helped, but really what we find out is it's a big lie. He says, you need to put off your old self. You need to get rid of that. And in verse 23, he says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. In verse 24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, Paul is defining repentance. To put off the old self and to put on the new self. That idea of putting on a new self is literally the idea of putting on a garment, of clothing yourself in a new person, right? Not thinking the way you used to think, not being the person you used to be, but being this new person. Living a life for God. Stop living a life for yourself is what Paul is trying to say. And when you think about Ephesians and how he's telling them that they need to be unified, how important is that? Because the Jews hated the Gentiles, and guess what? The Gentiles hated the Jews. How well was that church gonna function if they hated each other and they were coming into maybe a centralized meeting place on Sunday morning? That lobby would not be fun, right? And maybe they would even have their own Gentile special hallway and their own Jew special hallway, but he's saying, look, that's the old self. Get rid of that. You don't need to think like Gentiles anymore. You don't need to think like Jews anymore. You need to think like those who are in Christ. Those who are Christians, those who are trying to live a life devoted to Christ, that's how you need to be. But that's gonna require something. You gotta get rid of that old self. You gotta get rid of that old person. And you gotta put on the new person, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness. That's a big theological word. That just means in the true rightness of God and holiness. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. You see how even true, even in this definition of holiness, we see this idea of getting rid of our old self, of getting rid of who we used to be and making sure we're created in the likeness of God and being holy. We learned in our Wednesday afternoon class about how God is a holy God, and he required the Old Testament Israelites to be a holy people because he was a holy God. That same message is true for us. Because he is a holy God, I have to be a holy person. We have to be a holy people. And God is calling us to do that. So I can't keep my old self with me. I've got to get rid of it because my old self wasn't holy, but my new self can be. And I want you to understand how this can all happen. Notice verse 23. That's the most important verse to this whole section. I need to put off the old self and I need to put on the new self. And Paul was trying to teach these Christians the way you do that is by being renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, this is a really, really cool word. And let me get a little, become a grammar geek for a second. But verse 22 is a middle voice verb. What middle means is that it's something I do for myself, okay? I put off my old self. Verse 24 is the same idea. It is another middle voice verb, which means I have to put on the new self, okay? That's something I do for myself. Now, verse 23 is passive. That means it's something done to me. And so what we figure out is that something or someone is doing this to me. Someone is helping me renew my mind. Who do you think that is? It's God. You see, God is the one that is partnering with us to help us renew our minds. And it's also active, which means it is a continual process. We aren't just going to get to this point in life where we're going to say, okay, I'm changing and I'm going to become this new person, right? No, it is ongoing. It's continual. I have to each and every day, and this is what Paul is trying to encourage these Christians, each and every day you have to make the choice to let God help you renew your minds. That way you can leave that old self behind and become this new self. You see, if you also even think about it in the sense of starting a diet, how well do you think your diet's going to go if you say, today I'm changing my eating habits? The next day you don't make that same commitment. What's going to happen? If you're like me, I'm just going to go after every sort of bad food possible. See, but we're renewing our minds as Christians. We're getting rid of our old selves, the ones that were so caught up in all the deceitful desires, all the sins of the world, and all the different things that Satan was wanting to put in our lives. And he's saying, get rid of that. Put off the old self and put on the new self. Now, I hope this goes over as I have planned it, but I just want to demonstrate kind of what that looks like realistically. Now, my mic may break, something may happen, I have no idea, but I went and got a shirt, an old shirt, and I wanted to show you what it looks like to have this old self, right? Notice, as Paul is calling this old self, he's letting us know it's like the idea of a Gentile, and that's who we used to be. We used to be these sinners, and we used to be these people that were so focused on ourselves and so focused on all these different things. And so when I used to live my life before I became a Christian, this is who I used to be. I used to be a Gentile and a sinner. I used to be a child of wrath, Paul will call it. And what Paul is saying is you need to get rid of that self. But can I encourage you with something really fast? There's a lot of times in this world where we think Christianity can still keep our old selves. Well, what does that look like? Here, let's say this jacket is my new self. And sometimes when I am studying with somebody or I've seen someone in their Christian walk and they claim to be Christians, and all the while I notice that they forgot to do something. They just decided that, hey, I'm going to start living for Christ and I'm going to start trying to be devoted to him. And I want to make sure he is who my master is. What's wrong with this? Who's still attached to me? The sinner, the Gentile. I haven't put off my old self. You see, when you think about it, maybe you're somebody, or maybe you think about an alcoholic and they say, okay, I'm going to start living for Christ, but they don't put off the old alcoholic. What's going to happen when a trial comes into their life? You think they might start searching their cabinets for bottles? You think they may look through their fridge for a six-pack? You think they may go to the nearest gas station to pick up something, because that used to be their remedy when something came into their life? And the problem is they've kept that person. And they've said, I'm going to keep you here just for safekeeping. But I'm going to try and be a Christian. But see, not just alcoholics. You think about anybody. Somebody who's greedy. Somebody who's a liar. Somebody who's struggled with something, and we've all struggled with something. See, Paul makes it very clear. You need to get rid of that self. You need to put off that old self that lived after these deceitful desires. And so what that looks like is me saying, okay, maybe somebody sat down with me and they studied with me and they said, hey, repentance is a part of this process of becoming a Christian, of becoming new. And so what I learn in Ephesians 4:22 is Paul tells me to put off that old self. I don't like this person. I'm just going to leave him over there, right? Now I'm being renewed in my mind. God's word is helping me. Prayer is helping me. God's people are helping me. My mind is being renewed. And now I can be this new self, this clean self, this person who is trying to live for God, this person who is trying to be holy. Now that person's not attached to me anymore. Now I'm not worried about him trying to come back, but I'm also focusing on being renewed every day. I'm also focusing on trying to make sure God's word is filling my life. I'm trying to make sure that I can be the person God wants me to be. And that's me putting on that new self. My encouragement for us is to make sure we've gotten rid of that old person. Because I promise you, when things get tough, guess who's going to start rearing its ugly head? That old person. But we need to get rid of it. We need to figure out who it is and what it is in our life that it was. Because that's what true repentance is all about. So I want to encourage you as we go throughout this week, and I'm sorry I didn't click through these, but here's your answers to the bulletin, right? And maybe you caught them as we went through. But see, when I have my Bible up here, I forget about all the other technological stuff that's happening. So we need to put off the old self. We need to put on the new self. And how do I do that? By renewing my mind and letting God's word shape me, becoming this new person. So here is my mission for you. Here is your homework. I would love for you, as you're cleaning out your closets, guys, I know there is an undershirt or something you have that your wife wishes you would get rid of. Let it be this shirt, okay? Get it out of your closet, and I want you to write on the back of it or the front of it the scripture we see in Ephesians 4:2, talking about that old self and who that old self used to be. And then what I want you to do is I want you to wear it for a little bit, maybe 30 seconds, not a long time. I want you to be reminded of who that old self was. Then I want you to pray at that moment, God, please help me to change this old person. Please help me to put off this old self. And then I want you to take that shirt off. Then I want you to pray again, God, let me never put this back on. And then throw it away. Destroy it by any means necessary. Any means necessary. I left it vague, purposeful, okay? Be smart, but destroy it. Get rid of that old person. Get rid of that old self. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can live as a child of God. Now, I also want to encourage you, make it a daily habit to have God's word be put into your life. This week, I started a devotional in the Bible app. See, I do use technology sometimes. And in the Bible app, there is a 31-day devotional that Crossway, who is the producers of the ESV Bible, have put out, and it's phenomenal. All it is a short devotional, and you read through a psalm in which the devotional is about. Maybe that is something you should start. Maybe you already have something going on. Awesome. But also use God's people. Use these other people who are also working and trying to change their lives and trying to be better for God each and every day. Let's encourage one another, because this is not an easy process. This is not an easy thing that we have to do in our lives. And so let's be those people together. Now, I want to encourage you, maybe this morning you find yourself struggling to get rid of that old person. You find yourself struggling to put off that old self officially and finally, and you would love for us to pray with you this morning and encourage you this morning. We would love to pray with you and encourage you to be that new person. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to become a child of God. You're ready to have your sins washed away in baptism. We have a baptistry behind us, and we would love for you to start this process of getting rid of that old self and becoming this new self. If you have any need this morning, please come while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.